Hi, atop Chicago Skyline Studio. Christmas Eve. It is Dane here with you until 2, and excited to have this guy on the line, a leading voice in the world of vino, best-selling author with many leather-bound books, including my personal favorite, Drink Like a Billionaire, and the visionary behind Bevinars, bringing people everywhere together for the world of wine. It's the one and only Mark Oldman. Mark, welcome to WGN.
Dane, great to be here again. Thank you.
No, it's great to have you on. It is great to have you on, especially, you know, when it comes to times where people need to get together and celebrate, they want to do it right, right? Because these holidays, regardless of which ones that you're celebrating, they don't come along every day, right? And so you don't want to leave it to chance. You want to have as much professional and expert guidance as you can.
Exactly. Get the experts involved so long as you trust them.
As long as you trust them. Well, you are one of the trusted voices in the world of wine. And so how does that make you feel? This is a little opportunity. You know, this is time, you know, the holidays where you can have a little reflection, right? And you've been doing this a long time, ever young. You're super youthful, obviously. But you know, you've gotten to a point where you are at the top of the mountain looking down over all you survey. How does it feel?
Feels good, but, you know, the true expert, or let's just say the true knowledgeable person, is always learning. So part of the secret is to never feel like you're at the mountaintop, to always feel like you have more to learn. And with wine so vast and so complex, there is always more to learn. So it keeps you humble. And, you know, one of the secrets of my moderate success is that I always put myself in the place of you and my sister and my parents. And I think to myself, if I were, you know, someone who was a bit knowledgeable, but still a casual drinker, what would I want to get?
You know, here's the thing is when your business card says benevolent dictator, you know, you give that guidance, that structure that people, let's just face it, they need, right? But you have their best interest at heart. So, Mark Oldman, what is it? Like, what is the best interest for the people today as they're maybe scrambling around at all the different stores trying to pick up something for tonight, tomorrow, and in the coming days? Where you know, what do you have in mind for them?
Absolutely. And, you know, keyed on what you just said, 95% of all wine purchases are done in the day you drink the wine. So you're absolutely right. Everyone is, they're probably still looking for their wine to get. So you got to have bubbly, you know, whether it's for, you know, holidays, or, you know, before New Year's Eve or during New Year's Eve or, of course, all of 2025. But I've been really liking Cava from Spain because you can get it for under $20 a bottle, and it's made just as finely as champagne. So Cava, go to your local wine store. They usually have two or three different bottles, but a beautiful Cava from Spain, I think, is the best all-round bubbly that won't break the bank.
So think about this, Mark. Is, you know, you and I met, you know, a number of years ago, but in and around that context of the wine and food, whether it was New York or whether it was Aspen. And as time has progressed, you know, it has become just, you know, people are becoming more knowledgeable, whether it's shows on TV or whether it's the internet stuff, whether it's things like Bevinars, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. Is that been just really a benefit for some of those things that were great all the time, like Cava from Spain, but just didn't have maybe the PR firm or the big lobby group, right, in order to get that attention that they probably deserved?
Exactly. And there are still neglected places like that. But you're right, Cava is a perfect example of something that maybe 20 years ago was not on people's lips, but now, you know, I think part of it is because it's easy to say, like, Cava. You know, you're not saying Gewürztraminer, you know?
Yeah.
So much of the impediment to wine enjoyment is just pronouncing the damn word. So Cava's great. And then, you know what? So this past fall, I have taken deep dives into wine from the Pacific Northwest, so Oregon and Washington State. So that is undervalued. That is still, especially in Chicago and the area, like, it's available at wine stores, but it's just not as thought of as it should be because it's great value for the money. So I'd go to your local wine store and say, what do you have in terms of Oregon wine, some of the best Pinot Noirs in the country? So kind of a lighter style red wine coming out of Oregon, and then from the big, rich red wines from Washington State. So good, and half the price of wine from Napa Valley, and just as good. So Pacific Northwest is amazing. And here's another one that hasn't yet hit prime time, but is worthy of it. Just what you're saying, a South African wine. I've just taken a dive into it. I love it. It's available at Chicago wine stores. Chenin Blanc on the white side, that's a type of grape, and just regular Cabernet Sauvignon on the red side. It both are so good and such a great value because people don't yet know to order it.
So there's always this mystique around the French wines, and of course we know what happens in Napa. But you mentioned the Northwest, and you're giving them the accolades that they deserve, and then other places around the world. Just as we talked about, you know, your consumers are learning more about what's out there, what's good, what they should try. Maybe on the viticultural side, are some of these areas becoming better winemakers as well? So not only do they have an area that can produce good wine, but they're just getting better at it.
Absolutely. You see the top schools for kind of viticulturalists, that's a scary word, but basically people who grow grapes, top schools sending people around the world. So you're right, like 30 years ago, South Africa just didn't have the brain trust. Neither did Washington State and Oregon. Now it's almost like knowledgeable messengers getting sent around the world, kind of spreading their knowledge, and then investment. You've got, you know, with land so expensive in places like Napa and Sonoma, you've got investors saying, well, what's the next great wine region? And they're looking to those places. And, you know, people feel comfortable now going beyond France, going beyond Napa Valley. Although I love those places, it's just you're going to pay a comfort and a prestige premium with them.
Yeah, now here you're seeing where people, just that built-in pretension that was such a big part of the wine world that you've always sort of bucked against, and now you have people sharing and people being excited about sharing, and it's not just such proprietary information about not only what's good, but how to make it. When we come to sharing and getting people together, Bevanars, we're going to talk about that when we come back from this break. We're going to have Mark Oldman on with us, so keep it here. It's Dane on Christmas Eve, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio. Christmas Eve, it is Dane here with you until 2 p.m. And on the line to help guide us, not only through this holiday time, but also as we ease into the next year, a guy who's made his entire life, his vocation is bringing people together and carrying the torch for great wine, great experiences for family and friends. Mark Oldman, welcome back to WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Great to be back.
So here's a guy that is a headliner at the Aspen Food and Wine Classic, the classic, if you will. And if you don't know it, it's one of those aspirational food experiences. And if you haven't been, it's probably because it's aspirational. It's hard to get there and hard to be a part of it. And Mark knows this, right? He knows that not everybody can be there because it's a small amount of people and it's in an exclusive location. So in an effort to try to be more things to more people, maybe to all people, he created Bevanars, which allowed people to tap in to his expertise, the resources, the excitement that he knows wine can bring. So, Mark, for the listeners that are unfamiliar, kind of fill people in onto that thought process. Super successful, you decided, let's share it.
Well, thanks. I mean, Bevanars grew out of the pandemic when we were all trapped in our houses. And, you know, who knew this Zoom thing was so easy? And I think it took us all by surprise, the virtual world. And, you know, as now post-pandemically, I've kept them going, and they've only become more popular because I think, you know, if you don't live around where I live in New York, and, you know, if you're, you know, in Washington State or in Duluth or Saskatchewan or whatever, you want to learn about wine. I just like saying that, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea is, you can experience these, I would like to think, very knowledgeable, but also tastings virtually. And what's fun is you don't have to taste along, but what people do is they'll buy the wines in advance, or they'll buy, you know, usually I'm doing 4 to 6 wines, so maybe you won't buy all 6. Although it's a great excuse to have like a neighborhood block party at your house, you know, and you just have your 6 wines, but just buy 1 or 2 or don't buy any and bring your own. And you learn virtually. They tend to be an hour, hour and a half. Some are actually free of charge for consumers. Some are a relatively small fee, but you know, it's a fraction of the price you'd pay for these big festivals. And that's the beauty of virtual tastings. I don't have to charge that much, if I'm charging at all, because it's done virtually. And the technology is so much more efficient. We don't have to rent out big spaces and so forth. So it's a great chance for people around the country and around North America, basically, to kind of tap in and with their loved ones or with their friends, learn about wine in the comfort of their own living room.
Yeah, you're doing the people's work, and you don't have, whether it's the travel, you don't have the space that you've got to do and all the things that make it hard. But what it does have is that enthusiasm, that passion, that fun that Mark Oldman brings to it. And you mentioned Saskatchewan, and it, over the course on the food side, you know, there've been towns that have popped up that maybe out of the blue, you know, like a Portland or whatever. Oh, wow, this is a great food town. It isn't New Orleans. It's not, you know, New York or Chicago, but it's a place that's really excited about it. So have you seen any trends where maybe some place that surprised even you, maybe a Saskatchewan or a Topeka, Kansas or something, where like, hey, we're getting more people from this area you wouldn't necessarily identify as a wine place?
Sure. Well, there are places like New Orleans that has, I mean, they're much more famous, but they were never known. They were, as you probably know, they're more known for their cocktails than for the wine. But we get a lot of people from Louisiana and New Orleans. I think there's like a secret collector community down there that just loves their wine as much as they do their Sazerac cocktails.
I thought you were going to say their gratuitous public nudity. I thought you were going to say it's, you know, every, you know, and don't think bad about that, you know, Mark, because we have to identify with rampant crime. You know, we just had people from Vito's Vault on, who they have got a prohibition era themed speakeasy, which is very popular. So wherever you are, maybe the rest of the public doesn't see it as positive, but we embrace it.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, you know, it's you just never know. I mean, Pacific Northwest, you'd think in rural Oregon there wouldn't be a lot of wine collectors, but there are, or at least wine lovers. Collector is kind of a different level. But yeah, as you said, you know, before the break, people are learning wine like never before. It's kind of more embedded into the restaurant experience, and even your, like, server who hasn't trained much in wine still can kind of help guide you, and the selection is much greater out there. So people are kind of like becoming connoisseurs without even trying to be. Sometimes they just need a little fine tuning to hone them in even more.
Part of that is because of the education that they receive from the multi-time Stanford graduate that is Mark Oldman. Mark, as we let you go, where can people go to get more information about Bevinars, get involved, see what's coming up as far as the different kind of seminars, and keep up with all the action?
Yeah, so we've got many new seminars coming out early in the year. So if they go to Bevinars.com, Bevinars, kind of like webinar, but with beverage, Bevinars. And we've got Bevinars on France, Chile, Italy, Argentina, Spain, best wines under $20. So many really great ones coming to being offered this winter. So when it's too cold out, it's a fun way to kind of spend a early evening. And then if you sign up for the mailing list, you get this great, it's called the Billionaire Substitutes Guide. So kind of $20 wines that drink like $100. So that gets emailed to you for free when you sign up for the Bevanar's mailing list.
The secret information that you can only get from Mark Olbin. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. And Mark, we'll let you get back to your family and your holiday celebration. But thanks so much for everything you're doing for the community, for people, for wine, and for jumping on the show today.